Wine grape growers in Australia have campaigned for two decades for a code of conduct to regulate the sector. Now the federal government has granted their wish with a mandatory code to come into effect in January 2027. It's a move which many say is crucial for the survival of the industry. Amid warnings, though, it may already be too late for some operators. Jeremy Cass is the CEO of Riverina Wine Grape Growers. Tell me, Jeremy Cass, what is the state of the industry right now?
It's the worst it's been in living memory. And when I say living memory, we've got a grape grower in Riverina who's 90 years old and he's never seen it this bad ever.
Why then do you think it's taken so long for this code to come about?
That is a good question. It's a million-dollar question, and I think if anyone had the answers, we would have fixed the whole thing by now. So, you know, I think the fact that it has come to fruition is a great thing. It's a bit disappointing that we won't see it in action for this vintage that's just about to start. We've got to wait another 12 months, and it was great to see the announcement yesterday from the government, but the devil will be in the detail, and we wait to see whether they've taken the full recommendations that Craig Emerson put before them or whether they've watered them down or how they're going to go about, you know, the two main pillars that we're resting on up here are early indicator prices and terms of payment, which would rectify the whole problem of some of the outlying wineries that sort of don't comply. You know, we had signatories to the voluntary code and they've done a really good job and they're, you know, continuing to do so. But it's the ones that haven't signed up that, you know, are treating growers poorly, especially in these tough times, that,
and just,
you know, are the reason we need it.
Spell out for us what those two pillars, the impact of those policies and what you hope from this code.
Yeah, well, there's a whole heap more recommendations as well, but those two are the main two that we're looking at, because it then gives growers, if you get early indicator prices, a chance to actually make decisions on whether you keep investing in growing grapes or remove them or abandon them or even basically just try and rest them for a year and minimise your inputs. And the other one, terms of payment, would stop wineries who pay 10 payments over a period of 12 months, which, you know, you means you get, especially when you're getting low, below cost of production costs, it means that, you know, growers have tried to try and find a way to pay their bills and they're not going to get fully paid for that crop until they've delivered the next one.
Why did things get so bad, do you think? Why has this situation been worsening for growers?
Well, there's a number of reasons there, and I think that, you know, we've got a global contraction of consumption of wine and probably all alcohol for that matter, because of the wellness industry. You've got the World Health Organization suggesting that any alcohol can cause cancer, which doesn't do you any favours. You've got different generations that are choosing a healthier option, and, you know, all of those things are great, but it just means that we've got to restructure the industry to meet that. And the unfortunate part of that is our restructure was rushed upon us by the Chinese tariffs that came in when Scott Morrison challenged China over COVID. And that threw us into a world of hurt that, you know, made us hit the wall a long time before we should have, and allowed us no time to transition. And that's why we've been asking for government assistance for some time.
What more would you like to see done?
I think, you know, we've got to let supply and demand come into play, and for that to happen properly at the moment, it's fundamentally broken because of the oversupply. It'd be great to see a one-off buyback of wine just to get that ageing wine out of the system so it's not depressing the market. And it would be also great to see the government recognise what Australian grape and wine's been putting out there as a pre-budget submission for the last 2 years, which has a $30 million component for growers to transition into other crops, because at the moment, you know, we might not get those grapes picked. We'd be wasting water, which is an integral part of what the government's talking about on the Murray-Darling Basin system. We're wasting fertiliser and fuel, which is an integral part of what the government's trying to reduce with regards to emissions reduction. So they've got all these silos that want these different things, which all put pressure on people, but none of them are talking to each other and linking up. And even the government itself sort of is missing the whole point about how to best do these sorts of things. And it would be better for everyone if it was a little bit more sorted out so that we were back into balance.
Jeremy Cass, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries. Have a great day and thanks for the opportunity.
Jeremy Cass is the CEO of Riverina Wine Grape Growers.